But those that are interested in the membership class, the ushers will have the applications forms available for you after the service. You can just approach any of the ushers, and they should have the, that's a cue for the ushers to make sure they get the application forms and they have it ready. This Friday is going to be our first Festival of Life. Hallelujah. I want you to please open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Our scripture of the month is taken from the 11th verse. Ezekiel 36, 11. But I'm going to ask that you please back it up for me a couple of verses. Let's start from verse 9. Verse 9. Ezekiel 36 from verse 9. He said, "For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown." Please look up. When it says behold, it means you are seeing, but it's saying look closely now. Say behold. I can say look. But when it says behold, it's trying to get your attention that there's something you might miss if you don't look closely. There are many today that feel forgotten and forsaken. But God is saying, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he says, behold, I am for you. I am not against you. Like Pastor Gloria said, that's the place where you say amen. I see you are taking it in. But listen to this. It says, for behold, I am for you. Somebody say, God is for me. If God be for us, who can be? You say after me. See, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you. It says, I am for you. And he's saying, behold, because many people are missing out on that fact. Many people are missing out on the reality of that. And that is why he's saying, behold, look closely so you don't miss the point. And he says, because I am for you, I'm going to turn unto you. You see, when you turn to someone, you're paying attention to them. You know, like I'm speaking now, when I take my attention and I focus on Sapphire, for example, she knows, even though I'm addressing the church, but now I have pastor's attention. If she winks at me, you know, I can be distracted. You know, but she's been a good girl right now. She's not trying to distract me or anything like that. But it says, I am for you and I will turn unto you. Eniola, God is saying it will turn to you. When it turns to you, it's paying attention to you and it's making sure that you are taken care of. He said, not only will I turn unto you, when I turn to you, I will ensure that you are tilled and you are sown. It means your life will become productive, your life will become fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Verse 10 says, and I will multiply men upon you and all the house of Israel. Even all of it, I love it when Bible repeats the same thing. He said, and all the house of Israel, and all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited, and the waste places builded. Listen, what God is saying to you is very simple. He's saying, because I am for you, and because I am turning unto you, not only will you be tilled and sown, you will be fruitful and cultivated. And because you are fruitful and cultivated, you will become desirable. He says, I will multiply men unto you. And not only will I do that, I said, all of the city will be inhabited and the waste places will be built. Listen, every lost opportunity will be restored. Oh, I said the Lord will restore lost opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Some of us, God has given you an opportunity to minister the word of the Lord to somebody. And you miss out on that opportunity. Listen, the Bible says, if you see a sinner in their sin, and you refuse to correct them, you refuse to preach the gospel to them, and the sinner dies in his sin, he said the sin of that sinner is upon your head. Some of you, God will give you a second chance to build the waste places. You are going to mend certain relationships in the mighty name of Jesus. But above all, God will multiply you. God will increase you. It will increase you in favor. It will increase you in goodness. in the mighty name of Jesus. And your waste places shall be builded in the mighty name of Jesus. All of it shall be builded. And then verse 11, this is our scripture for the month of March. It says, and I will multiply upon you man and beast. Listen, when you think about this, you may miss it. Because in Bible days, when they want to describe a man's wealth, they describe his wealth by his livestock. Job was the richest man in the East. And because he was the richest man, they say he had 5,000 cattle, he had this thousand this, and he had this thousand that. Wealth was measured by livestock. So when you see beast there, you can put wealth. You can put finances. You can put prosperity. You can put whatever you want to put. Say, I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you. Somebody say, God will settle me. I want you to rise up here. Because this month, the month of March, is the month of settlement. Old accounts will be settled in the mighty name of Jesus. Those things you have prayed and trusted and waited for, you will receive this month in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, in this month of March, Lord, settle me. Lord, settle me. Settle my marriage. Settle my home. Settle my job. Settle my business. In the name of Jesus. Settle my work with you. Go ahead and pray and talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, settle me. Lord, settle me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let there be settlement. Let there be settlement. You say, you will settle me after the old estates, and you will do better unto me than at my beginnings. In the mighty name of Jesus. Settle me, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Friends, it is the word of the Lord. And God cannot deny himself, Chinese. He can't. He is God. He is God. You know, and then he continues to say, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings. It means you had a beginning that was either good, exciting, or bad and poor. It's saying, whatever your beginning was, I will do better for you. I will do better for you. And this is the word of the Lord for us in the month of March. And then I love the way it concludes. Listen. It says, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. That's a boast. That's a boast. You know, I told the ministers this morning when I was younger, because I'm still young, when I was much younger, My mom was a disciplinarian. You see how she goes like this now. She wasn't like that before. I thought she was mean. Matter of fact, I thought she was wicked. But now I know better. I know she did it out of love. But she would tell me, she said, when I'm done with you, you will ask, is this my mother or somebody else? Is this the woman that really gave birth to me because she's so mean? And I asked the question truly. But God is saying this in a good way now. He's saying, by the time I am done blessing you. Look at that. Say, by the time I am done blessing you, you shall know that I am the Lord. If you believe it, raise up both hands to heaven and just receive it into your spirit. Pray the word of the Lord into your spirit. Say, Lord, settle me. Lord, settle me. Do better for me than at my beginnings in the mighty name of Jesus. That I may know, that all may know that you are my God in the name of Jesus. Do better for me, O God, according to your word. Lord, you say, and you will do better unto me than at my beginnings. Daddy, do better for me than at my beginnings in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we believe you. You are not man that you will lie, neither the son of man that you will repent. What you say you will do, that is exactly what you do. Daddy, we thank you because, Lord, you honor your word The Bible says you have so much elevated your word even above your own name. So you can't change your mind about your word. Daddy, we thank you because, Lord, you are not partial. You are not a respecter of persons. What you did before, you can do again. That is why the scripture says you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You are the Almighty God, you change not. Daddy, because we know this, we stand firmly upon your word that declares to us, O God, that indeed you will settle us. Lord, we receive settlement by faith. We receive settlement by faith. Every controversy, Lord, you will settle in the name of Jesus. Every controversy, Lord, you will settle in the name of Jesus. Lord, you will honor yourself in our lives. Lord, you will honor your word in our lives, and your name will be lifted up. Father, please do unto us better than our beginnings. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Daddy, please speak to us. Lord, exhort us. Lord, chastise us. Rebuke us where there is need. Lord, but above all, let your name be glorified. Daddy, I surrender myself unto you, withholding nothing this morning. Lord, let your word come forth unhindered by my person, by my thinking, by my personality, in the name of Jesus. Have your way, O God. And let your name be glorified. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. I want us to please, while we're still standing, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And we're going to read from verse 30 to 34. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. Shout hallelujah and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank this great God. We thank this good God. Proverbs chapter 24, from verse 30 to 34. And it reads, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the name of Jesus, you may please be seated. At the Sunday school this morning, they searched the scripture. There was a question that was asked about why people are poor. And somebody said, too much sleep. And I laughed. I laughed very hard. They didn't know why I was laughing. This is the reason why I was laughing, because it's in agreement with the word for today. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. The book of Proverbs is a very interesting book. Oh, by the way, if you want to join the choir, or you have been an old member of the choir, maybe you are not active, an inactive member of the choir, if you are choir in any shape, form, or fashion, I'll be meeting with the choir after the service today. Maybe you just want to join, or you have been a part before, you excuse yourself. I want to meet with everybody at the end of the service. I will be meeting in the green room in the warehouse. The green room in the warehouse. If you need any help, speak to any member of the choir and they will show you to where that is. Praise the Lord. So we see in our text today, the Bible says, I went by the field of a slothful man. And I started by saying that the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a book that was written for you and I to have instruction and be guided through this journey of life. As a matter of fact, somebody said, a proverb a day will cast away foolishness from your life. There is almost any topic, there isn't any topic that you can think of that is not covered in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a broad book that covers so many topics. And more so, the one that the Lord used to author the book was one that has many experiences himself. Yeah, he learned some things through some of the things that he suffered himself. So he is a man that is in a place that is able. I want the technical folks to know they are a part of the service. There's too many people in the back. Too many people. Except for the one doing the scripture, everybody else should please come forward. Only the timer and the one doing the scripture should sit in the back. Everybody else, please come and join the service. If you read Proverbs chapter 1 from verse 1 through 4, Proverbs chapter 1, 1 to 4, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom and a book of instructions. It says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and destruction. Discretion. I'm sorry. What did I say? Destruction? No. Discretion. Thank you very much. Okay, it means you are awake. I was not trying to see if you are awake, though. The book of Proverbs is very, very instructive. And it is my prayer that as we look at our text today, we'll be able to learn one or two things from the text. Praise the Lord. When you look at the text today, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man that was void of understanding. When you look at that, it tells you two things. Number one, it tells you that the man that is in question, Adi, could you please bring down that down for me? It tells you that the man that is in question here, the man that is being talked about, number one, he had a field. Number two, he had a vineyard. And there's a reason I'm saying it in past tense. Amen? Number one, he had a field. And number two, he had a vineyard. And this man, when you look at the story very critically, this man did not see himself. Isn't that the story of the life of many of us? A lot of people don't see themselves. Most people see others. They can identify what other people are doing wrong or incorrectly, but they don't see themselves. That is why when it comes to assessing a situation, if you came late for a meeting, you begin to explain the reason why you came late for that meeting. And you expect the people you are telling to understand that this is the reason why you came late. But when you flip it, and so you are sitting in a meeting and somebody comes late, and they begin to give the reason why they came late, very quickly you judge and say, this one is an unserious person. Why? Because we like people to judge us based on our intention, but we want to judge others based on their actions. Praise the Lord. We want to be judged based on our intention. Oh, I didn't mean to do that, but you did. So you want them to judge you based on your intention, but when you judge others, you judge them based on their actions. So this man that is in this text, he didn't see himself. It wasn't like this man realized that his field was overgrown with weeds or anything. It was somebody that was walking by that saw the state of his field and his vineyard and is reporting to us what they saw. So the first two things I want you to identify here is that this man had a field and this man had a vineyard. And the third thing I want you to see here is you will see that in verse 31. And I'm going somewhere with this. In verse 31, it said, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So this man's field, this man's vineyard that he had, at some point had boundaries. It was fenced around. But at the time that this is being reported, the boundaries, the fence, the stone wall had been broken down. The question that I will ask in my heart, if I was the one sitting and I was listening, is that what has all of this got to do with me? You see, this man's field, this man's vineyard, you can liken to your life and to my life. If you are alive, shout hallelujah. So we all are alive. Everyone that is hearing me this morning or will be hearing this message over the internet or wherever, they have life. That's why they can hear me. And they qualify to be compared and contrasted with the man in our text. The field that we are talking about is not just our life. This field also can represent our marriage. It can represent our business. It can represent your academic pursuit. It can represent your walk with God. It can represent any area of your life that you want it to represent. And the question you must automatically ask yourself once you are able to liken it to your life or to a life situation that you have is, what is the state of my field? And what is the state of my vineyard? So if you are likening this field to your marriage, or you are likening this vineyard to your health, or whatever it is you are likening it to, you can ask yourself, what is the state of my marriage? What is the state of my career? What is the state of my ministry? What is the state of my walk with God? In this man's case, because we know that he had a vineyard, how many people know what a vineyard is? A vineyard is a good thing. Okay, I won't ask you to explain it. If you know what a vineyard is, wave. Brenda, you want to tell us? No, don't tell us. A vineyard, what is a vineyard? A vineyard is better than a garden. It's a farmland that has been cultivated and you have stuff growing in it. Yeah, praise the Lord. You have fruits growing in it. You have mangoes. You have apples. You have wonderful things. It was a fruitful ground. Fruitful ground. Can I tell you that the moment you give your life to Christ, God puts you on a very fertile ground for you to begin to grow. But the real question at this point is, what is the state of your vineyard? What is the state of your field? We just had a wedding ceremony 2 weeks ago, you saw the joy, the dancing and the rejoicing. They came to say bye-bye on Friday as they're driving to Denver. You could see them, lovebirds, very much in love. A lot of marriages start off like that. But what is the state of your vineyard? A lot of people, when they gained admission to college, they were very excited. Oh, I'm going off to San Antonio, the UTSA. Oh, I just got accepted into Northwest Vista College. They were excited. But what is the state of your vineyard today? Many people, when they gave their life to Christ, they couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Everywhere they went, there was a radiance about them. Everybody that saw them knew something had happened to them. Their walk with God was exciting. What is the state of your vineyard? In this man's case, the Bible says his vineyard was overgrown with thorns. It means a life that was exciting and happy and joyful has become a life of pain. A marriage that was so full of love and hope and a future has become a marriage of pain. What is the state of your vineyard? What is the state of your vineyard? A career that started off very well, exciting, lucrative, looking good. You were expectant. But that field has been overtaken by thorns. It says not only is the field overtaken by thorns, it says the field is now covered with nettles. Nettles, the closest illustration I can give of nettles is poison ivy. It means something that was beautiful before has now become an irritation. The person you love to see, what you love to do before, has now become an irritant. You just don't want to be with them anymore. You don't want to see them anymore. Do you know that before people come out and say we're having a divorce, probably for months they've been sleeping in separate rooms. They've been living together like strangers. You just didn't notice it. In fact, they can come to church and sit next to each other. And when you greet them, they are smiling. Hello, how are you? How are you? How you doing? How you doing? And they should give you compliments. But there's a problem. But there's a problem. What is the state of your field? What is the state of my field? You know, like the way I started was, I said, many people can see the problem in others, but they can't see the problem in themselves. What is the state of your vineyard? How are you doing? I want you to ask yourself today. Because of the truth, there is an end to everything. There is an end. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that is judgment. It doesn't matter how good or how wicked you are, we are all going to fulfill that appointment, except Jesus comes before we die. Amen? And the question I'm asking you today is a question God is going to ask you ultimately. What is the state of your field? What is the state of your field? Why? How did something so beautiful become something so bitter? How did the transformation happen? How did it progress from good and it went to bad? And it has moved from bad to worse. And it's looking like it's diving into worst as it is. The reason is very simple. The next verse. Verse 32. It says, then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. I think it's the Message Bible. The Message Bible says, when I saw this man's field, he preached a sermon to me. He preached a sermon to me. You know, whenever I see someone that is not doing well, or I hear the story of a pastor that fell into sin or fell into some kind of difficult situation, is a lesson for me. I allow that situation preach a sermon to me. But a lot of people, they don't hear that sermon, even when they are faced with that. And I'll show you why. I'll show you why. Say, I saw this man's field, knowing that this field used to be a good field. Knowing that this life used to be a happy life. Do you know anybody that you used to know them before and they were very vibrant? They were very happy when you used to know them, maybe 4, 5, 10 years ago. I don't know how long ago. You know they had this energy. But all of a sudden, now that you see them, you're like, what happened? What happened? What happened? What happened? Life. Life happened to them. And life has caused a beautiful life, a beautiful field, has caused it to now be overgrown with thorns and nettles. Do you know part of the curse of the law in Genesis chapter 3 is that the ground will now be covered with thorns and thistles? It is not the plan of God for your life, neither is it the plan of God for my life. But how does this happen? What causes a beautiful life to transition into such decadence? Next verse, please. Say, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Please play the video. Can somebody help me with the lights so they can see it very well? Please do not laugh. Hello? Don't laugh. I said, don't laugh.
Justin. Lost your wig. Lost your wig.
Stop it. Come on.
Praise the Lord. You saw how pretty she was before the wig fell off. Listen to me. As funny as that is a story of many lives today. A little sleep and a little slumbering has caused the wig to fall off. And a little sleep and a little slumber has called us beauty. You know, the reason women wear those wigs is for what? Adornment. It's for adornment. It's like somebody wearing prosthetic nose and then it falls off. From beauty, it goes to monster. I'm serious. A little sleep and a little slumber. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen close. I showed you that to make exactly the point. Many people are sleeping and their life is sliding away. That was a subway station with all the noise and all the train and everything going around. She did not wake up. You notice she woke up, she looked at the guy, and she went right back to sleep. Sleep, listen to me, listen to me. A lot of people think sleep is a static state. Sleep is not a static state. If you go from sleep to static state, that person just died. When you are sleeping, your brain is still working. Your heart is beating. Your muscles are twitching. After a while, you go into deep sleep, but your life is not over. Activity is still taking place. They can still hook up wires to your head and read brain activities. Are you listening to me? So the state of sleep is not a state of static unawareness. It's just a temporary unawareness of your environment. A temporary unconsciousness of your surroundings. Many people, they are watching their marriages just slide away from them. I had a counseling session with some people this past week, and I was telling the couple how important my marriage is to me. The marriage covenant is not something you wish away. Oh, no, I can't stand him anymore. I can't stand her anymore. She's grown too fat. When I married her, she was very slim. Therefore, I want somebody slimmer and cuter and whatever. Marriage is not for that. Marriage is not for that. My marriage is so important to me, I am awake and conscious to know the things that are going on in my marriage. Are you conscious of what is going on in your marriage? Are you conscious of what is going on in the lives of your children? There's no child that suddenly becomes bad. There's nobody that suddenly backslides. He said, they just slept and woke up one morning and said, I don't want to be with Jesus anymore. I changed my mind. No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. When you have been sleeping and when you have become unconscious of the things that are going on in your life, you are in imminent danger of shame. This man's story, the people that were walking by, every time they were, I said, wow, I wonder what happened to him. This used to be a beautiful vineyard, but look at it, it's all tore up, messed up, and broken down now. And because the fences were broken, the animals come, they do their thing, they do their business, they walk away. The place was messed up. Why? Because there were no boundaries anymore. The man had fallen into a state of sleep and was not aware of the things going on in his life. If you are a student, you don't get academic dismissal suddenly. Say, they just told me to leave college. No, you've been failing a while. You've been failing a while. And you have ignored the fact that you have been failing. You have chosen to ignore that your business is not doing well. Listen to me. It is possible that due to inflation, your income does not match your expenses anymore. That is the point where you cut down. When you don't cut down, which is part of what we're talking about in Sunday school today, you are sleeping. You are sleeping. You make $1,000, you are spending $1,500. You are sleeping. You are fast asleep. You need to be awakened. Amen? Amen? You stop praying together with your wife. It used to be your pattern in your home. And you don't think that is a problem. You are sleeping. You are sleeping. And you are in danger. In serious danger of losing that marriage. And God is going to ask you. Because you had this message today. You made plans. Plans are not exactly working out the way you have planned. And you are saying, you know what? I'm going to look for a shortcut. I heard that such and such is doing this, and such is doing that. When God has not led you, you are asleep. In fact, you are in slumber. You know, slumber is a little different from sleep. That lady, you can say she was slumbering. You know, because you see, every time she did this and she pulls it back, there was a certain awareness of consciousness that came to her to pull her head back. Slumber is going in and out of sleep. And I'll tell you how that applies to us. A person that one day he realizes that I have a problem, say, please pray with me, please pray with me. They pray with the person and then walks away for 1 or 2 days. They stand by what they have been instructed and counseled. But after a few days, they go back to their old ways. That's slumbering. You are slumbering. Whether you are sleeping or slumbering, you need to wake up. Look at your neighbor. Say, wake up. Wake up. I say, wake up. Wake up. Look at the other neighbor. Help them. Say, wake up. Wake up. And if they are actually sleeping, just... Praise the Lord. Did I give a title? The title is A Little Sleep, A Little Slumber. A Little Sleep, A Little Slumber. Many people have given up on their own life. Some people have given up on their marriage. Some people have given up on making it in life. You know, I've told this story many times. When I first came to America, you know, and I was trying to understand how things work, you know, the system, the government, the politics and everything. You know, they will always tell me that the Republicans are for rich people. I say, okay. They say the Democrats are for poor people. I say, is that the only thing they stand for? They say, yes. If it's just for poor people, I may be poor today, but I don't plan to remain poor forever. So that might not be a choice for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact where you are today, listen to this. Where you are today, what your life is looking like today, is not a determining factor of your final destination in life. The plan and the purpose of God for my life is not determined by my present experiences. I may not be doing well today, but I'll do better tomorrow. Oh, you didn't hear me. You may not be doing well today, you will do better tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. But you must wake up. Somebody say, wake up. Too many people are sleeping is the biggest problem we have in the church. The reason people are not witnessing is because they are falling asleep when it comes to evangelism. They are sleeping. In fact, when we mount the podium and say, oh, you know, on Saturday, we're going to have evangelism from such and such. The moment they mention evangelism, some people, they just tune out. They don't hear the rest of the announcement. You know why? They are sleeping. They are sleeping. And then maybe every once in a while, you just suddenly wake up, you go, you try to minister to somebody, ineffective, but you just do it just to mark register. You are slumbering. Amen? Either way, it is bad. May the Lord awaken you today. May the Lord awaken his church today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jeremiah 29 verse 11. You know it too well. Jeremiah 29, 11. Can somebody pull it up for me, please? I know the plans that I have towards you. He said they are thoughts. The message, but don't let's do the message. Let's do King James for this one. Thank you. Say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you what? A future and a hope. You know, when I begin to think about God and the bigness of God, the size of God, let me tell you the way I look at God. How your children start off in life is determined by where you are. I'll tell you what I mean. If you are, you know, average, which is what most people are, you know, as the children start school, they start Head Start or start whatever, they start, you look for the school district in your area, you enroll your children there. If Bill Gates moves to San Antonio and he has children of school age, you think he's looking for the nearest ISD? You got to be kidding me. He's not looking for any ISD, anything. Why? Because he can afford a private tutor for his children in his house and say, okay, gather other children so they can have people to play with. He can afford it. I pay their parents for their students, their children to come and play with my children. I pay them. For you to think little thoughts about God for your life is an insult on God. That's where I'm going with that. For you to think that, oh, let's just eat and drink and that will suffice and we just live life. It is an insult on God. You must change your thinking. You must change your outlook. You must look for good things to happen. This our scripture of the month, the verse 9. What did I tell you? Behold, I am for you. God is not against you. Some people honestly believe that God is against them. If you are a sinner, God is not in your corner. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to his side. The Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to God. God detests it. He cannot accept the prayer of a sinner. But if you are born again, spirit-filled, sanctified, set apart, says, behold, I am for you. Somebody say, God is for me. God is for me. God is not against me. God is for me. God is for me. So why do people fall into sleep? I'll give you 5 points and then I'll wrap it up. Why do people fall asleep about very important situations of their life? Because many people are not conscious about their life. You know how you know if you are consciously aware of your problem, you are doing something about it. For a number of people, what they have resigned to is, ki sera sera. What will be, will be. If it's God and he wants me to have it, he will give it to me. You have just told yourself the biggest lie. There are certain things that God will never do for you. How many of you have witnessed God just brushing your teeth for you and keep your mouth clean? If you don't brush your teeth, you will just have a bad mouth odor. You know, and people will speak to you from a distance. Not you. You know, people will just keep their distance from you. Why? Because your mouth is smelly. God will not, he won't send angels to come and brush your teeth for you. What you can do for yourself, he has given you the capability to do for yourself. He expects you to do it for yourself. Amen? I was told this story. I find it difficult to believe, but I was told this story. that two people got married. They were very, very, you know, spiritual, you know. So every night they would kneel down, night and morning they would kneel down and pray, God, give us the fruit of the womb. Give us the fruit. And the man never touched his wife. They didn't know that part. They didn't tell them in counseling. So after a few months, so is everything okay? They said, no, we are still believing the Lord. So he said, are you? He said, no, no. Be it far from us. Be it far from us. No. We don't do that mess. He said, well, you will never get the blessing of the fruit of the womb then. God did it one time and one time only, the virgin birth. Why do people fall asleep about the issues of their life? Number one reason, they themselves have lost interest in their own situation. Friends, losing interest will not change the situation. Saying, I'm just tired. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to leave it alone. It will not change. You know, a lot of people say, oh, time heals. Time only heals what you do something about. If you have a wound, you have a cut, you don't treat it, you don't wash it, you don't put antiseptic, you don't do any of those, that wound will rot. And as it's rotting, it's going to get gangrenous. When it gets really bad, they will cut off the leg to save the person's life. Time never heals what you do nothing about. If you have a relationship that is falling apart, why don't you set up a meeting and meet with the individual and ask them, what problem do you have with me? This is the problem that I have with you, but I'm not exactly sure what problem you have with me. The number one reason that people fall asleep over their situation and then just throw their hands in the air and say, kisera, sera, is because they themselves have lost interest in their situation. And that is not the plan of God for us. Number two reason, disappointment. Anybody here ever been disappointed? There was a man when I was at the university in Nigeria. This man walked everywhere he went. He was a Caucasian guy. His family died in a plane crash, and he vowed never to take any form of transportation again. He lived and died on the university campus in Ibadan and donated his cadaver, his body, as cadaver for the medical school, for the students to do medical school. Why? Because he was disappointed. Friends, God will heal every hurt in your heart. God will soothe every pain in your heart. The Bible says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no balm in Gilead? There's a balm in Gilead that can heal and soothe. That balm will heal and soothe you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Friends, we have to let go of the past and move along with life. Some people are, I think they call them dykes, women that are behaving, is that a bad word to use? Okay, I'm sorry. Lesbian. Okay. Some people are lesbians today because somebody did something to them when they were young. They were raped by somebody, an uncle or something. And because of that, they say, I will never have anything to do with the man again. That is not a solution. That is compounding the problem. You continue to live that life. If that person dies in that lifestyle, they go straight, express train to hell. Express. There will be no delays. Express to hell. Friends, I don't know who has disappointed. Some people have been disappointed by pastors. They say, oh, churches, I don't believe in churches. Pastors are just there to collect your money. Oh, the pastors, they're just deceiving everybody. They are regular human beings. Pastors are men like you. The only difference is just the grace of God. You remove the grace of God for the office upon their life, and it's just an ordinary man. So you're right to some extent. But the God of the man is the one you must respect and honor and fear. I don't know who has disappointed. Some people have been disappointed by parents, and therefore they cannot have any kind of authority figure over them. They are rebellious. Friends, God is calling you to himself. He said, behold, I am for you. I don't know who has disappointed you, but I, God, I am for you. And I want you to be a better person. So number one is what? They've lost interest. Number two is what? Number three is afflictions. Because of the afflictions some people have suffered in their lives, they have become complacent about their situation. Say, this suffering is too much. These problems are just too much. I'm not going to do anything about it. If it's going to kill me, let it just kill me now. I know someone that behind on their mortgage, I think 14 months. I told them, I said, God must really love you, because I don't know how you are still able to stay in that house after falling behind 14 months on the mortgage. But the fact that you say, oh, I'm so far behind, I'm just not going to do it, it's a matter of time. You'll be evicted from the house. And what you really don't want is what is going to eventually happen. Afflictions will come, but afflictions are not meant to stay with you forever. Is somebody listening to me today? Jesus said, he said, in this world you have tribulations, you will have trials. Said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world for you. Remember, the big question for today, what is the state of your field? Why are you sleeping? Please wake up. May the Lord awaken you. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Number one is what? Don't lose interest. People have lost interest. Number two, disappointment. Number three, afflictions. Apostle Paul suffered many afflictions, but he was able to continue. Why? The Bible says, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Friends, with Jesus, all things are possible. Is somebody hearing me today? With Jesus, all things are possible. There is nothing too difficult for him to do. And with God, there is no impossibility. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Number four reason why people fall asleep or go into slumber over their situation is because they have no vision for their lives. You know, some people, they want to be spiritual about it. They decorate it with spirituality, but there is no vision. Where there is no vision, people perish. What is your plan? If I sit you down and I say, what is your plan for the next 5 years? Do you have anything planned? Do you have any thought? Have you thought of what your life will become in 5 years? Is there a place you are going, or you are just living, just breathing? Are you living or breathing? Amen? Are you living or are you breathing? Because some people are just breathing. No plan. If you have no vision, listen to me. One night, and I need to wrap up very quickly. We're going to pray in prayer and close now. One night, because every Sunday evening we try to do something fun myself with my family. So this night, I didn't know what else to do. We did everything I could plan for us to do. So this night, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I said, we'll get on 1604, and then we'll travel the loop all around. How many of you know that we didn't really arrive anywhere in particular? We were just driving. Why? There was really no vision. We were not going anywhere in particular. We just wanted to go around the loop. We drove for over 2 hours just to come back to the same spot where we started. And we went back home. By this time, everybody was sleeping. It wasn't so much fun. It was fun for about 20, 30 minutes. And then they left me by myself. I played music. I was falling asleep myself and all of these things. Listen, if you don't have any destination, you will arrive anywhere. If you don't have a target, you will always hit your target every time you shoot. Because you are not aiming at anything. You are just shooting. fire. Say, did you hit target? Absolutely, 100%. You were shooting in this direction, that direction. Every direction you shoot, you will hit target. Why? You have nothing you are aiming for. It does not make you a success. It is original failure. Have a vision. Have a purpose. Live for something. Pastor Leo challenged us last weekend. He said, within the next 3 months, bring somebody to church. That's a vision. That's a goal. That's something to work towards. Don't look for 3 people. Don't look for 5. In fact, don't look for 2. Look for 1. And follow this person up. Minister the gospel to them until they are saved and bring them as your disciple to church. Simple, right? When you don't have a vision, some people, in fact, I had a report that last year, 50% of evangelical churches did not win 1 soul. Because their vision is not one with Christ. Amen? So when your vision is to just have a big church, then you just do anything to entertain people, just to keep them coming and keep drawing them. But if your vision is salvation, how would you go 1 whole year and not one person was led to Christ? Friends, if you lose interest in your life, you will fall asleep. If you are led and ruled by disappointment, you will fall asleep about your life. If you consider the afflictions and the difficulties of life, you will fall asleep over your life. If you have no vision, you will fall asleep over anything will go. You will start up wanting, have you heard of people, they started off when they enter college, it was medicine. Then from medicine, they say, okay, I'll do pharmacy. And then from pharmacy, they say, well, everything is still doctor. I'll just do physical therapy and then I will graduate to PhD. And then they go to biology, they say, from biology, I just do master's and do PhD. As long as it's doctor. The standard just keeps changing. You know why? No vision. No, if I have a vision, difficulty of attaining that thing will not determine what my vision is. I am driven by the vision. I am not driven by the ease or difficulty of accomplishing the vision. By the grace of God, we're going back to Peru this year. We were ruffled a little bit. Because of finances. But God will take us back to this year. In the name of Jesus. Finally, number 5, and then we're going to rise up and pray. Please, let's rise. Friends, I don't want anybody to feel bashed or battered this morning or afternoon as it is now. Listen to me. It is the reality of life that some people are just overwhelmed with life. Some people are just overwhelmed. There's too much stuff going on that you don't even know where else to turn. You don't know what else to do. You have tried everything that you know to do and nothing has worked out. I want you to lift up your hand to the Lord this morning. In total surrender. I surrender all to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing.
I surrender all,
I surrender.
Everything I give,
everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
holding nothing,
withholding nothing.
Listen. I want you to pour out your heart to the Lord. I don't know what the state of your field or your vineyard is. I don't know if it's overgrown, if it's covered with nettles or any of these things. But I want you to talk to the Lord. Whatever the state is, there is a God in heaven that is a problem solver. There is a God in heaven that can turn around situation. There is a God in heaven that can make a difference and make a change. And that is the God I'm presenting to you this morning. I want you to lift up your hand and just talk to this God this morning. Don't withhold anything. Don't hold it back. It's not yours. The problem is not yours. The goodness and mercy of God is what He has promised you. Say, Lord, I receive your goodness and your mercy in the name of Jesus. I let it go. I let go. I let go. I let go in the name of Jesus. All the offense, all the disappointments, all the afflictions, the Lord is able to turn it around in the name of Jesus. Because we are pressed for time. Because we are pressed for time. If there's anybody here this morning, I just want to agree with you in prayer. The Lord has spoken to you. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. I have to hand it over. We're going to Thanksgiving in a little bit. You say, Pastor, please agree with me in prayer. Please agree. Anybody, nobody. Nobody, come forward very quickly. We're going to close in a little bit. We don't have that much time this morning. You say, Pastor, my field is not in a good shape right now. My career is not in a good shape right now. My marriage is not in a good shape right now. I have needs in my life. I have aspirations. Things are not working out. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. My family is troubled. Lord, help me in the name of Jesus. Help, oh God. Help, oh God. Help, oh God. Help, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I need the ministers to please help me this morning. Lepa kosotolia, lepa karadavosha katalia, in the mighty name of Jesus. Please lay your hands upon them. All the ministers, please come forward very quickly. Lay your hands upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord, awake, awake up our glory. Awake, awake the glory of your children. Awake, awake the glory of your children in the name of Jesus.
Everything.
Shake, Atalia. Awake, oh Lord. Awake, oh Lord. Awake, oh God, the glory of your children in the name of Jesus. Awake, 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 and put the enemy to shame. Awake, 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 and put the enemy to shame in the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus. Awake, 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 awake. In the name of Jesus, let the glory be awakened, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, le prokosotolia, le pradia. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, awake, 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 O God, awake, O Lord, awake, O Lord, awake, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, the glory of your children. In the name of Jesus. Awake in the name of Jesus. Awake in the name of Jesus. Leprosotolia in the mighty name of Jesus. If you have been prayed for, you may go back to your seat. Leprosotolia. Hey! Awake, O Lord. Awake, Jehovah. Awaken your children in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. Hallelujah. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your word says thou visitest the earth and you water it. Lord, everything that has dried up spiritually, materially, emotionally, everything that the enemy has dried up in the life of your children, let there be abundant watering. Let there be abundant watering in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, greatly, greatly enrich your people today. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, blessed Redeemer, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I lift up your church to you today. Awaken, oh God. Lord, as many as are sleeping or slumbering, Jehovah, awake in the name of Jesus. King of glory, awake in the name of Jesus. Father, destinies that have been held back, destinies that have been canned, destinies and glory that has been covered, Lord, we unveil today. Lord, I unveil today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. For Lord, your word says, upon this mount, every covering cast shall be destroyed. Amen. Every covering cast be destroyed now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And let every veil be ripped apart. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You will be discovered. Amen. I say you will be discovered.
Amen.
You will be found.
Amen.
You will become the sought out by the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord will sort you out.
Amen.
The Lord will sort you out.
Amen.
The Lord will settle you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you praise and we give you glory. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.